Yeah, so I'm gonna take you on a slightly different tour. And actually, we're not gonna talk about the Milky Way that much. But by going around the long way, we'll get back to the Milky Way in the end. And we will talk about dynamics and about disequilibrium. And that is because I'm going to tell you about the occurrence and origin of counter-rotating components in galaxies. And this is work that's been done in collaboration with a number of people. And the reason that I want to talk about this here is partially that I think that it's like the beautiful detail that we have now for the Milky Way and that we will get even better in the future. I think we can learn even more. We can learn a lot from this about our own Milky Way. But I think we can also learn a lot about galaxy evolution in general from what we know about the Milky Way and the other way around. So I think we can add to our study of the Milky Way by comparing that to what we or other people have found about galaxy evolution in general. So this conversation, and then the other conversation is with the analytical, semi-analytical simulations on whatever scale where we can follow all the physics and try to understand what's going on. And so I think that the discussion has to take place in this middle ground. And I think this can add both to our understanding of galaxy evolution and to our understanding of the history of our own Milky Way. So that's why I'm here talking about counter-rotating galaxies. And so what do I mean by counter-rotating galaxies? I basically mean anything that has a counter-rotating component that has an angle with the main rotation of the stellar component that's larger than 90 degrees. So to show you an example, this is the first report in the literature that I could find of misalignment or counter-rotation in a galaxy, and which is about the Helix galaxy, which has what we now would now call a polar ring. And to show you another example that's kind of famous as a counter-rotating galaxy is NGC 4550, which looks like a nice quiet S0. But actually, if you look at the stellar rotation, you can find that there's actually two components there. There's two stellar disks. And actually, people have found that these stellar disks are almost the same size, almost the same mass, and there's only a small difference in overall metallicity. And then the gas is co-rotating with the slightly smaller, so the secondary stellar disk. And so people have done a lot of work about individual galaxies in this field with slit spectra, and now or later with IFUs, where again, for this galaxy, you can see the main component, the secondary stellar component, and the ionized gas component, and they rotate in the opposite sense. And then if we look at distributions of relative angles between components in simulations and observations, as now larger and larger samples are available, then, for example, in the illustrious simulation, in general, the dark matter, the stars, and the gas are relatively well aligned for at all masses. And in particular, at low masses, the gas and the stars are well aligned. And at the highest masses, the dark matter and the stars are more well aligned. But there's not that much misalignment. And observationally, here show the results of the SAMI survey. where this is the distribution of gas stellar position angle offset. So this is done with 5 U's. And the distribution shows an enormous peak at 0 to 10 degrees offset. So most galaxies are nicely co-rotating, or at least in the most part. And then the distribution falls off, and they have this secondary peak at perfectly counter-rotating galaxies. And so over the years, there have been a number of observations of mostly single galaxies, and now larger and larger samples. And also in the theory, on the theory side, most studies have been on single galaxies, or even simulations where this has been found serendipitously. People did a merger simulation, and they found they did form a counter-rotating gas or stellar disk. But there hasn't been any statistical study about how these things could form. So there are individual studies that, in a very particular merger setup, you can form a counter-rotating stellar disk. In a very particular filamentary structure, you can form a counter-rotating gas and stellar disk. But how often both of these occur, or how this would be in a larger universe, say, hasn't been done. So that's basically what we set out to do. But because this is quite a large goal to set, we started small. And in particular, we started with looking at gas star counter-rotation. So a stellar disk counter-rotating with respect to a gas disk, and in particular for low mass galaxies. And what I mean by low mass is SMC LMC, so not very small dwarfs, but sub L star. And why? Because the accreted stellar mass fraction, it's like the amount of stars that mergers bring in, is quite low. So we can study the effect of the smooth accretion of changing environments. This corresponds to a low mass observational sample that we have. And low mass galaxies are the most ubiquitous galaxies in the universe. And we will observe more and more of them. And they're the most ubiquitous galaxies in simulations too. So we have a very, very large sample. So I said we have an observational sample. This sample is relatively small. It's 50 dwarf galaxies. But actually, 5 of the 50 turn out to be counter-rotating, which is 10%, which was quite surprisingly. And all of these 5 show evidence of having an AGN. And if I compare this, which is, as these are just 5 dwarf galaxies picked, if I compare this to what's in the SAMI paper, and in the same mass range, there's also a number of around 10%. Okay, so how do we study this? Initially, I used the illustrious simulation and selected low mass galaxies that are central galaxies, so they're not satellites at the present day, and studied how many of them. Just first of all, how many of them are counter-rotating? What's the distribution of the angular momentum direction of the stars versus the angular momentum direction of the gas? And so most galaxies are actually co-rotating. This is a logarithmic plot. And only 1% of the galaxies, of these low-mass galaxies in the illustrious, are counter-rotating. None of these galaxies have significant mergers. And if you look at the median angle for the full population, that's 13 degrees. So overall, galaxies are co-rotating. But in contrast to the observations, so those are at higher masses, we don't find a secondary peak at perfect anti-alignment. So what kind of galaxies are these? If we look very quickly at general properties, they have very normal virial masses. They have slightly low gas masses, but they have normal star formation rates. They have low angular momentum in the gas disk and in the stellar disk, which you may expect, because if you have counter-rotating gas which starts forming stars, then the total angular momentum of all the stars will go down. Also because you're not forming co-rotating stars. And the half-mass radius are maybe on the low side, but not significantly so. So to show you some examples of these, that they're really counter-rotating, the top panel shows you face-on views of the stars and the gas, and the bottom panel shows you edge-on views of the stars and the gas, where the arrow shows the direction of total angular momentum. So not only are these counter-rotating under my definition, but some of them are quite inclined. If we look at the kinematics, this shows the same. The rotation of the stars is in one sense, and the rotation of the gas is in the other direction. We can also look at mock rotation curves for these, which basically show you the same effect, where the rotation of the stars is in one direction, the rotation of the gas in the other direction. And here the black line is the circular velocity of these systems. And then we can also, for example, look at the circularity distribution of all the gas and stellar particles in these systems. And then, while the stars are not strongly, they're not very thin disks, these systems. The gas is actually in a quite thin disk, which is counter-rotating with the dominant stellar component. But in a number of these systems, you actually have formed a small counter-rotating stellar component over time. Okay, well, this is all, it's nice we found these systems, but what we wanted to know was, how did they form? Okay, so taking the first galaxy in a row, we look at this shows the history with look-back time, so the universe formed here, we are here. The angular momentum of the gas with respect to the stars. So the stars are always co-rotating with themselves. They're always at zero. And if you look at the gas in the galaxy, it starts out nicely co-rotating, and then it starts to gradually tilt until it's almost perfectly counter-rotating. And then we can look at how this happened. We can look at the gas and the halo and the dark matter halo. And we see that both of them actually also become counter-rotating, and before the gas in the galaxy becomes counter-rotating. So it seems that in this case, we have in a way, a tilt of the halo, a different filamentary structure feeding the halo, so the angular momentum of the dark matter change, of the incoming gas changes, that feeds the gas disk in the galaxy, which then slowly starts to counter-rotate. If we look at another example, the story is actually quite different, because the gas is nicely co-rotating, suddenly becomes counter-rotating, and stays there. The halo gas does the same in light blue, but the dark matter in black is still reasonably co-rotating with the stars. And so what happens at this point? This shaded area means that this system is actually a satellite at that point. So this galaxy experienced a flyby merger with a much, much larger system. So it was in the outskirts of the halo of a much larger system, and it escaped again. But being there, it lost part of its halo gas and part of its gas. Also, these dotted lines indicate that at that moment, strong black hole feedback takes place. So while this object is a satellite, it experiences strong feedback, which blows out a lot of gas from the central galaxy. That gas gets stripped, And when it escapes again, it accretes new gas from a different direction. So how important is this gas loss in this case? So if you look at the maximum fraction of gas lost for all galaxies over their lifetimes, then that distribution is galaxies don't lose that much of their gas. It's fairly low. If you look at the counter-rotating galaxies that we study, those are the single points, they actually lose much, much more of their gas. So it seems that these galaxies, and maybe not surprisingly, they lose their rotating gas, they accrete new counter-rotating gas. And so we've color-coded the points, we've tried to trace why they lost this gas. And so we came up with a few origins: AGN feedback, a flyby event, both, or neither of these two, which could be environmental effects. And there's no real structure in this with the color points, but in about like 65 of the sample, the gas is lost through either AGN feedback or flyby or both. And there's no particular correlation between how the gas is lost and how much is lost. And intriguingly, actually, the black hole masses in all these systems seem to be on the high side. So that seems to correlate with what we find for the feedback. Another interesting point was that we actually found that some of these systems, actually some of the examples that I showed, this one has been counter-rotating for 4 giga-years. And this one has been counter-rotating for 5 giga-years. Actually, if you look into the literature, misaligned systems shouldn't stay misaligned for that long. And they should be either perfectly aligned or perfectly anti-aligned, well, within a few degrees, within a few dynamical times. And so this plot shows you the look-back time when the galaxy became counter-rotating, where we've indicated 5 dynamical times for these mass objects and 10 dynamical times for these mass objects. And so for a lot of these, they've been counter-rotating for short timescales, and actually it can be a very short-lived effect. But for some of these, it's like the most extreme point has been counter-rotating for 8 giga-years. Although this one is like almost perfectly anti-aligned, so it's fairly stable. So this is surprising in the view of dynamical theory, but what could cause this is a continued accretion and continued tidal torques from a changing filamentary structure or a changing large-scale environment, which is not considered in what's mostly the analytic theory. Okay, so we found these systems in the illustrative simulation. They tend to be affected by feedback. How is this if we look at other simulations? So if we looked in illustrious TNG, which is the same size, the same resolution, but slightly different physics. And if you look at the fraction of counter-rotating galaxies, that's actually quite different. This was illustrious, what I've used, with like around 1%. If you look in TNG, the total fraction that this mass range is around 10%. If you look in Eagle, which is also a similar size box, a similar resolution, but different subgrid physics, the fraction is closer to 13%. So there seems to be some correlation with how the subgrid physics is done and how you create or how many of these objects you would have. So this seems to mean that both counter-rotating galaxies, in a way, remember their previous internal history in the form of strong feedback events and perhaps or their external history. But it may also help us understand more about feedback. So Elastos has a low fraction of counter-rotating low mass star gas counter-rotating low mass galaxies. These galaxies mostly have lower gas masses and lower gas and stellar spin but are otherwise normal galaxies. AGM feedback and flyby encounters may be related to the gas loss and to the accretion of counter-rotating gas. And therefore, counter-rotating galaxies that we see today may hold actually clues to their past environment and their past history. And once established, counter-rotating can be short-lived, but also very, very long-lived. So to continue this on, this is just gas star counter-rotating, and it's just at low mass galaxies. So what we want to do is to build on this to look at stellar counter-rotating components as well, and to explore larger masses, which are more complicated because mergers affect this. How do we disentangle a smooth accretion that brings in satellites as well from something that's really merger-driven? And then, what can this say about the Milky Way? So, the rest of the plots that I'm showing are all preliminary. So, and some are even more exploratory than preliminary. But I would be very interested to hear suggestions and to hear what's interesting and what's most interesting to do next. So if we look at all galaxies, again, in the Elastos simulation, and we look at counter-rotating stars, then almost all galaxies are again in the background, have some fraction of counter-rotating stars. And this can be quite low, but it can also be like almost 50%. If we select again our galaxies that have counter-rotating gas disks, they almost all have a high fraction of counter-rotating stars as well. So you could say, are all these counter-rotating stars accreted? Well, if we compare the fraction of counter-rotating stars with, and actually look at the fraction of these counter-rotating stars that are accreted, that are formed in other galaxies and accreted onto this galaxy, then the scatter is very, very large. And for the full galaxy population, it's generally low. But for the galaxies with counter-rotating gas disks, it can actually be quite high. So I'm not sure I fully understand what's going on in this plot, because there's a lot going on. But it could be that, in particular at higher masses, galaxies that have counter-rotating gas disks also bring in satellites from those directions, and so you have more accreted counter-rotating stars. So in the future, I'm planning to look at this in particular for Milky Way-like galaxies, because people have been telling me for a while now that the Milky Way doesn't have any counter-rotating component, at least not in the disk. But I couldn't find any result in the literature or any claim in the literature, a published claim, that states that. So I'm actually curious, how many counter-rotating stars are there in the Milky Way? And can we, by turning what we found for counter-rotating galaxies, can we turn that around and say, if the Milky Way is so extreme on the low-end side, that also means that that says something about its history, and not just about its internal history, but also about its environment, and not just environment, I don't just mean merger or accretion history, but an environment in the direction of the filaments and how stable that situation is. So when I was here 4 weeks ago, Adrian helped me to very quickly look at the possibility of counter-rotating stars in the Milky Way disk. And so this was a very very, very first plot to make, so this is very, very extremely preliminary, I would say. But combining Gaia and Apogee in where you would expect a counter-rotating component in the disk to be, there is actually, there's very little. So the Milky Way may have very, very little counter-rotating stars. On the other hand, there is this interesting clump of stars. And looking more into this, we found that this is actually has been found before. And for example, here, where actually the axis is now, the direction of rotation is flipped. But it's the same same group of stars, basically. But very quick look at the properties of this group seems to indicate a coherent group in space, a metallicity with a metallicity unlike the disk. So you wouldn't consider them disk stars. So probably these wouldn't be in situ counter-rotating stars. And otherwise, there's very little in that region, but still, this is a group that I would find very interesting. But if it may be that other people have also rediscovered this group of stars again, and if so, then I would be very interested to hear more about it. If not, then I would be interested in looking more into it. Yeah, so otherwise there seems to be very little. So how does this compare to in the simulations? So if we very quickly look at like an angular momentum energy distributions for Milky Way mass galaxies in this illustrious simulation, where on the left are the stars and on the right is the gas, then we find a very, very large distribution of basically of distributions in this space, and also a very large scatter in how many of the stars and how much of the gas is counter-rotating, although gas is generally very low. And for example, in this case, there are no stars on counter-rotating orbits. In this case, there's 40% of stars in counter-rotating orbits. So you can have basically anything you want. The Milky Way may not be very rare in this aspect. And that means that we can learn more about it. So questions for the future, or plans for the future: where do counter-rotating stars come from? How much is formed in situ from a counter-rotating gas disk? How much is accreted? And can we use the properties of these stars that are actually, they're going to pop up more and more in observationally in the Milky Way, if they're there, but also in external galaxies? And can we use them to constrain their origins? What does the scatter and the fraction of counter-rotating stars tell us in general about galaxy formation and about external versus internal processes? And in particular for the Milky Way, can we use the extreme detail that we have to constrain more about its formation and past environment by using not just the accreted stars in the halo, but also weird things, weird distributions that we find in the disk? And for example, is there a cluster dwarf galaxy accreted on a planar retrograde orbit that's now counter-rotating in the disk? And then in my last 2 minutes, I wanted to show you a quick result by work by Sarah Pearson that we've been working on, and actually we've been working on here this week as well, where we're trying to make predictions for stellar streams in external galaxies, and in particular make predictions for future observatories like, for example, WFIRST. So to show you one example, these are three different fields at three different radii in Andromeda from the pandas survey. And in each field, Sarah has introduced two streams. One is similar to the PAL5 stream, similar in mass, basically, to the PAL5 stream. The other is 10 times larger. And so the top row shows you all stars. The middle row restricts the metallicity to metallicity below zero. And the bottom row shows you metallicity below minus one. And so you probably see one stream popping out in most fields. And then you may be able to see the PAL5-like stream in some fields. And then the next one is going to be the predictions for WFIRST. So look at these carefully. And this is what WFIRST would say. So we are very excited about this. And we hope you would be too. Thank you.
So it's a very interesting. A planar retrograde dwarf galaxy is probably not very likely, but you don't need it to be planar. Something like the Sequoia would have had gas, so as it came in, the gas would have been dumped in counter-rotating orbits in the disk plane, and they say there should be. There should be, as a test of the Sequoia theory, there should be counter-rotating stars in the disk.
But then, shouldn't... well, okay. So, well...
I mean, that depends on the role of the corona, right? And if, so maybe at this very primitive early time, there wasn't a corona, but the corona acts as a buffer, which equalizes all immigrants and spreads around their wealth in some way so that they end up doing a common thing. So, and the corona is not something we understand.
But also, most of the gas would have been stripped before it would be close to the disk. And yeah, but also, if it would have entered the disk, you have co-rotating gas there, so they would have too quickly dissipated it. So I'm not sure it would have formed stars.
So what was the, maybe we need to ask Adrian, what was the calculation? Was that the RBS sample?
I just pulled up my notebook so I could remember. It was at the cross-match guide.
Yeah.
The histogram was all stars between at the average of
minus one and 0.5 in the alpha track where you see the thinness.
No, I think that's actually everything.
That's everything?
Yeah, it's your last.
In any case, the red stars there are ones that have metallicities within 0.25 dex of minus 1.5 in the positive region there. So minus 1.5 and they're alpha enhanced, it looks like. So,
so I was curious about the comparison you did between the sets of simulations with different feedback models.
Mm-hmm.
So you were able, in the case that you presented from Illustris, to separate out the situations where the counter-rotating component came from a AGM feedback from those where it came from a flyby. I wondered if you'd looked at just the flybys in the other simulations, because you'd expect them to be slightly less sensitive if it really is the feedback recipes that are doing this.
Actually, maybe not, because the feedback can affect how much gas is in the halo, how the gas accretes. And so it may actually affect how gas is stripped from flybys. So the story gets more complicated. And I'm going to look into it. I'm not sure I will be able to find one answer. It's like this difference causes the difference in fractions that we find. But yeah, I will definitely look into it, because it's very interesting to turn it around and to use it as a handle on the subgrid physics.
Can I just follow up on that really quick? I'm sorry. Another problem that you might want to look into is, I don't remember off the top of my head what the resolution is for these simulations.
They're all very, very similar.
Yeah, but they're
higher resolution.
You're pushing, especially at the low mass end that you're looking at, I think you're probably pushing the limit where you might be worried about the dynamical relaxation being a factor just from the Just from the under-resolution of the gravitational component, the gravitational force.
Yeah, that's certainly a point, and that is why we look at total angular momentum of these systems, and we're not looking at, I'm not looking at angular momentum of single star particles or regions. I'm looking at the, in this case, at the total angular momentum of the low mass systems, because that you can do at that resolution, but going in internal dynamics in these systems, that's not advisable.
I remember a few years ago there was a paper using simulations to discuss the if a disk stay in a triaxial halo, it is very easy to be flipped up. And this is a processing, so this is not immediately turned off. It just go gradually. So then you may find some strange, you know, different misalignment of the angular momentum in the disk.
Okay.
So I'm wondering, in that case, usually they can build very strong warp. I am wondering if you can see any signature in observations or in simulations about the warps more frequently appear in this kind of counter-rotating.
Not that I've seen yet, but it would certainly be interesting to look at. On the simulation side, you would need quite high resolution to be able to go that far out and see a warp, and also have a statistical sample so that you maybe could find these objects. But it may be there, yeah. What actually may be more interesting is to look at correlations of the flip to counter rotation and the triaxiality of the halo, which could be done.
So you talked about Julia's wonderful work from the SAMI survey comparing to simulations, and that took took a huge amount of work, 3 years to get that stuff done because they did checks and double checks. I wanted to point out an even bigger piece of work involving more people in the same SAMI survey team led by Jesse van der Sonde, mm-hmm. where the first time it's ever been done, they've compared 3,000 SAMI galaxies with the N-body simulations, specific properties of galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an immense amount of work where they do the moments, you know, dispersions, masses, and all the simulations get stuff wrong, all the simulations get stuff right.
Yeah.
We give them a scorecard each in terms of who does what well and who doesn't. What we haven't done is go beyond that to ask about the counter-rotating stuff, the even the higher order moment stuff. But it's a really important, I feel it's a very big team of people. It's involved simulations mm-hmm. groups around the world, mm-hmm. involved Capillari, Atlas 3D, people that had done this before with very small samples and single apertures.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of lessons to be learned there about how far we are from producing anything like real galaxies in real surveys. I mean, they get certain things right, but the specifics of galaxies, there's a lot to learn. So I hope people read through that. It's a huge piece of work.
But
it's related
to
what you were...
It's certainly related. But because I'm mostly interested in the... That would be certainly interesting to look at the counter-ordain example.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, very short question, but I was wondering, like, You could potentially also increase your sample with what you have here. With have you thought of increasing it, like, by, you know, taking like Gaia Lemost or, you know, Gaia Segway, and then perhaps measure, you know, a spread of metallicity in your little blob, for example, like.
Yes, I've thought about it. I just haven't gotten any further than what we had here.
Is there any correlation or connection between counter-rotating fraction and bars and spiral structure?
That's something, observationally, I don't know. In simulations, that there is just not the resolution. It's like, at these resolutions, these simulations don't form proper bars, or don't form bars at all, and they don't form good bulges. So that's something for a higher resolution to look into.
I don't know if Jeremy or Portland are here, but theoretically.
Well, before the speaker was born, I did simulations with David Merritt of counter-rotating disks, and found that that counter-rotation stabilizes the disk quite significantly against bar formation. So,
yeah,
so
I would
that
think
was
so.
That was useful data.
So you had a slide where you talked about the effect of the black hole feedback on counter rotation. Could you was that just I don't know, I didn't quite understand why this was happening.
Okay, so basically that the do you mean how the feedback works?
No,
or why?
I didn't understand the cause of this.
Okay.
Correlation.
Basically, that the black hole feedback is so strong that it removes a large fraction of the gas from the central galaxy, and it then starts to re-accrete gas after that episode.
Why does it do so counter? Why does it counter rotate?
Yeah. So in in many cases, for example, if you have both a flyby and an AGM feedback, your environment changed as well. And so in many cases, actually, the halo already started counter-rotating, then you have black hole feedback blowing out a lot of gas, and then if you re-accrete, your galaxy, your disk starts to counter-rotating as well.
So could this...
So in a way, you need both. You need to remove... Oh, sorry.
No, could this happen... All you need is feedback to blow out the majority of the gas, so it could happen due to a big starburst as well.
Well, I don't think you'd blow out the gas far enough in that case, or maybe not always. It depends.
I'd be surprised if you didn't see that.
You don't see it in in illustrious we don't see that, but in theory that may happen for a very low mass system, but I wouldn't expect it to be strong enough in many cases. But in most cases, it seems that you need to both lose your co-rotating gas. And so if counter-rotating gas comes in, that it doesn't, it basically shocks and dissipates and all falls towards the center. But you need to lose your co-rotating gas, which could be due to black hole feedback. But you also need your changing environment, so you need to have your incoming gas be in a different direction. And for some halos, actually the gas that comes in is changing all the time. And for some, there are a long, very more defined filaments that can suddenly change, that can suddenly change the dominance of the filaments.
Do we have more questions? Okay, I have a small question. Just out of curiosity, if you keep the simulation going on like the illustrates, what will be the final stage of this counter? Will they like keep this counter rotating forever or?
No, well, some will, others won't. Like, it's like many are actually are counter-rotating for a very short time. But some are counter-rotating for a long time, and I think these systems will only become slowly more and more stable, as expected by dynamical theory. And so they will be stable galaxies, and they will form a stellar counter-rotating disks from the counter-rotating gas, and just keep going, and be like NGC 4550.
Okay, if there are no more questions, let's thank all the speakers in the morning session, and we can enjoy the lunch.